Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to SMB Sunday Morning Service. I hope everyone is having a great morning so far. We have been talking about deliver us from doubt. Again, that's deliver us from doubt. This has been a much needed topic that we have been going over. So if you didn't hear Wednesday's call, I encourage you to go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org to purchase it. You need to hear that call. This has been, again, a great subject that we have been talking about. So at this time, I want you to get someone on the line if you can, so they can hear this message. Again, deliver us from doubt. When we are doubting things, that is not, you know, the right thing to do. That is not God's way when we doubt things. So, again, if you missed the subject on Wednesday, the call on Wednesday, go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org and purchase it. You really need to hear that message on Sunday. So, at this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Carr. Mr. Tellius Carr, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful.
Great.
So welcome everybody on the call this morning as we go ahead and get started for our inspirational call this morning. I'm actually going to be talking about doubts. We're doing that this whole week. And this morning I'm going to give us five pointers about doubt. Okay? It's going to be five pointers, so get ready for those. Before we get started, though, I really want to go ahead and pray. So, Ms. Shabri, if you don't mind, go ahead and open us up with prayer, please.
Yes, sir. Everyone, close your eyes and bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for waking us up to this glorious and beautiful day that you have bestowed upon us. Father God, deliver us from any sin that we have done knowingly and unknowingly. Help us to put on the whole armor of God, my Father. Help us to deny ourselves in our walk today. I pray healing upon everyone, healing upon all their organs, on every person on this phone. As we continue with this call this morning, I pray everybody open up their ears and open up their hearts to hear this word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, y'all, we're talking about delivering us from doubt. Delivering us from doubt is so prevalent in 2019. Mr. Bree, I'm going to let you ride with me this morning. It's prevalent in 2019, this thing called doubt. And please, we all natural. We don't do superficial stuff on this phone.
Right.
The word of God is nothing to be played with, and I just don't believe in, I'm one of y'all that I don't believe in pretending. So if we can do it, we can do it right. And the reason I say that, today is Sunday. People get holy on Sunday. But what happened to Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, even Fridays and Saturdays? Okay?
Right.
Y'all know my slogan? Keep the same energy. Don't pretend just because you're in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, he's omnipresent. So be the same way at all times. Don't get on this phone and being holy and then get off the phone and go slap your child upside the head like they're the one that got a problem.
Right.
Seriously, don't put on such a Sunday attitude, a Sunday voice. How you doing? No, I don't care about none of that. God doesn't care about none of that. If you're going to be real at all times. So keep the same energy. Everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay, got that clear. The topic is deliver us from doubt. Okay? Deliver us from doubt. Deliver us from doubt. I've seen it time and time again. And this is real. I've had many counseling sessions where people live in doubt so much to where it starts to affect their whole life.
Amen.
It starts to take over their whole life. And they cannot even experience the fullness of God, the satisfactions of God. People say, I believe in God. but your lifestyle does not suggest that you believe in God. Well, I don't live a negative life. Well, if you don't live a life in God, it is negative. We don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt but ourselves. I'm a good woman. I don't know if he's a good man. I'm a good man. I don't know if she's a good woman. And we go by societal norms because society says that it's easy to put one another down as long as you don't put yourself down.
Right.
Let me say that again because I don't think everybody up just yet. It's easy for us to put everybody else down but ourselves. Now, I want y'all to know that y'all the faithful few because we got up this morning and we bought that word.
That's right.
They wouldn't be like the people in Noah's day. Because the people in Noah's day, because of societal norms, they doubted Noah. They didn't believe that it could rain like such. Ain't that something? I do want y'all to know that the rain covered the entire earth, not just your city. I think that's what people think. When God destroyed it all, he destroyed it all because of that flood. Just
right.
So that everybody know, that wasn't just a little certain location. It just wasn't Houston, Texas. It wasn't Spokane, Washington. It wasn't just Chicago, Illinois. It was the entire earth. It wasn't just Tokyo. No. It just wasn't Paris. No. It just wasn't the Bahamas. It was everywhere that he destroyed. And one person didn't doubt God. See, when we say we live a positive life, a life without doubt, that's a life that suggests that I operate in God. When you operate in God, that suggests that, you know, everything is positive. Because we have set our own standards, our own righteousness, and say, I'm not negative. But if it doesn't look like God, think like God, live like God, understand like God, you do know that it is negative.
Yes, sir.
So God, deliver us from this thing called doubt that is not good for any of us. It causes us to be stagnant in our growth. In other words, it causes our relationship with God to dissipate.
Right.
It causes our relationship with God to weaken. So deliver us. Rescue us. Save us. Convert us from doubt. That's what deliverance is, huh?
Yes.
Give us a plan. Give us some action. The thing is, God has done it. Remember he said many are called, but few are chosen. What more can he do? God can't live our life for us. He gave it to us to live.
Right.
But again, much like the people in Noah's day, do we really believe? Doubt and Thomas didn't believe. But the thing is, with Doubt and Thomas actually literally, that's one of the 12 disciples, he let Jesus know he didn't believe. Blah, blah, blah. Well, in today's time and age, we lie to God himself. Because we'll tell God, I don't doubt you. I just need to see. What you just said? What did you just say? Huh? Yeah, I'm natural as they come. I don't doubt you, but I just need to see. When you say but, that's a conjunction. Anything
right
to the left but, go ahead and erase.
Right.
If somebody say, I love you, but, I'm into you, but, I was going to pay it, but, you can go ahead and erase, save your breath on the first half. Just say the second half. I believe you, but I need to see. You know how people say seeing is believing? That means somebody's doubting because the Bible said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Parents, we know it all too well, parents. When your child, parents, this is what your child say, well, you did it, or I need to learn, let me live my life. I'm going to learn on my own. First of all, you're not going to talk like that in my house. We can get that clear. That's going to happen, Captain. Huh? Because I remove all doubt, and since you want to be doubt, I'm about to remove it. Because I don't think that you think that Jesus walked on water. And I don't think you believe in a rod. See? So first of all, we experience this quite often, huh, parents? When children say stuff like, hold on, Mr. Green. When children say stuff like, let me live my life. Let me make my own mistakes. What they're doing is questioning, doubting you. Now, a lot of times people say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with asking a question. And you're absolutely right. But you do know there's different manners of questions, right? A question to seek growth, for clarity. And then there's a question called doubt. Satan is crafty. He's clever. He's been around a long time. Mm-hmm. Just because I question you don't mean I doubt you. Yeah. And it'd be doubt all wrapped in it. Let me show you what a question without doubt looks like. Watch this. O Adam, where art thou? Show me what doubt is there.
None.
Huh? Let me show a question that looks like doubt, that is doubt. Did God really say that? Lord have mercy. Y'all didn't catch what I just said? One question comes with authority. Another question comes to break down authority. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Check it out. When this doubt questions, it challenges the truth. So you really the woman. So you really the woman for me, huh? See, that's challenging your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, here's the thing. I love this, y'all. This is why I do this. I love this. And hit me good. People say, so you telling me you shouldn't question stuff? I'm telling you should never doubt. Because either you're gonna believe it or you don't. See, here's the relationship. Watch this. Here's a relationship responsibility. If you are walking with God, you don't have to doubt a thing. You either accept it or you reject it. If I know my daddy, I don't have to doubt you. I know it comes from God or it don't come from God. And if it don't come from God, why should I doubt you? I just reject you. Y'all don't hear me on that one, right?
Right.
I don't have to doubt. The Bible says it this way. My sheep, know my voice, but a stranger they would not hearken unto. To hearken means listen to. I don't have to doubt you. I just don't listen to you.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Carr, here go the question. What if you don't know? Glad you asked the question. If you don't know, you still don't doubt. It's called patience is a virtue. A virtue is a form of righteousness. A virtue is righteousness. In other words, even while I wait for an answer from God, I do it his way. You understand what I mean? Catch what I'm saying. In other words, I give the benefit of the doubt. That means I don't doubt you. I give you benefit because I do unto others as I would have them do unto me. In other words, watch this. God knows about us and don't doubt us. He knows about us and don't doubt us. God don't say, I doubt that they do it right. Why would God doubt us and then give us everything that we need to perform it? Now, that would be, boy, y'all don't hit me. Deliver us from doubt, God. In other words, isn't it funny? I want to talk to the people who want relationships. How you want a relationship to work and yet you doubt it? When you doubt something, you don't give it everything that it needs to succeed. Let me say it again. I don't think everybody woke this morning. When you doubt something, you do not give it everything that it needs to succeed, because when you doubt it, you are already signing it. You're putting your John Hancock on it. You're putting your John Hancock on it that it won't work. So who's the game player? Because if you doubt it, why even entertain it?
Right.
Let me say it again. If you doubt it, why even entertain it? You are the hypocrite in it. I'm going to tell you why you're the hypocrite in it. Because what you wanted to do is prove itself to you. Well, you're not proving yourself to it.
All right.
Oh, well, 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 well. Well, ain't that something? Huh? Hmm? Ain't that something? The opposite of doubt is trust. Without trust, there's no hope. So why even get involved with anything if you're going to doubt it? Because you don't have hope in it in the first place.
Right.
The Bible says the greatest of these. Hmm? Oh, my. Watch the three great things that God talks about. Deliver us from doubt, God. The three great things that God talks about. He talks about faith. True?
Yes.
This comes from your Father. In heaven. He talks about hope. True. And he talks about love. And then he goes on to say the greatest of these is love. Now watch this. He says faith. And faith is trust with action. Lord have mercy. Faith is trust with action. Faith says I don't see it, but I believe it. And I live like I believe in it. The Bible says to trust him at his word. People say, oh, my God, won't God do it? You only saying that because you see it. But see, that means that you have faith in it. You have faith in it. I trust God at his word. God don't have to show me nothing because I trust God at his word. But to whom much is given, much is required. When you have much faith, that means God can just talk to you. When you have little faith, that means God got to do for you. I'm going to say it again. Somebody may have missed that. Deliver us from doubt, God. Deliver us, Daddy. When you have a lot of faith, God can talk to you. When you have little faith, God has to do for you. Woo! I'm going to say it one more time. You don't got to get excited, Mr. Bree. You can get off the phone. No disrespect. But I'm going to do this like God told me to do. When you have a lot of faith, God just has to talk to you. Because you believe him at his word. When you have a little faith, God got to do for you. In other words, when you start to mature in your mama's and your daddy's eyes, all they need to do is talk to you. But when you still are a baby, they got to do. You see where you at now?
Right. That's right.
Because we still doubt God's power. See, denying is a form of doubt. You remember I just said it? Y'all heard me? When I say with people with relationships and they want to get in a relationship and you don't give them everything that it needs to see because you're denying them something. When you deny something, you doubt it. There's no way possible you would deny the greatest thing or that you ever think is the greatest thing to come in. The very thing that you allow to come in is the very thing that you trust. So if you entertain it, that means you trust it.
That's right.
You don't entertain something that you don't trust. So if you trust it, that means you don't doubt it. Ooh. So how can you entertain something that is not good?
You can't.
That's the thing that you – see, you don't even have to doubt it. I don't doubt it because when you doubt something, you kind of have limbo. I don't doubt the devil. I don't trust the devil.
All right.
Faith, hope, and love. That's the greatest three. Faith is belief and actions to go with it. Hope is a trust that I hadn't seen it manifest, but I know that it will. Huh?
Okay.
Because my hope is strong. And I believe, God, I believe, God, in spite of what I see, God, in spite of what I see in them, God, I believe, Father, that there's greater in them than what I see. Because it's not about what I see. It's about what I know.
All right.
Because when you know something, you will not let it deny you. Which is the opposite of doubt. My faith is strong. My hope is strong. Huh? Because all hope is saying, I don't know the rest of the sentence, but I hope that it's great. And I don't know, I not only hope that it's great, I do what it takes to live like I hope that it's great. And then love. Now watch this. Doubt comes up against all three. How can you have faith if you doubt?
You can't.
How can you have hope if you doubt?
You can't.
How can you have love if you doubt?
You cannot.
Some of us settling. Some of us settling. I done heard one of the craziest things in the whole world, Mr. Bree. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
We should take it personal, too. Somebody literally told me I would have married, but it wouldn't have lasted. I knew it wouldn't have lasted. If you doubted that it would have lasted, who the fool to even do it?
Right. You the fool. Right.
Oh, my. If this man just called somebody a fool on this phone, you go read your Bible and go watch how God calls us infidels and fools. And, yeah, go read your Bible.
Right.
You know, God can roll with it, huh?
Yes, sir.
You thought the judge on TV got raw with it talking about crackhead? No, God get raw with it because he's not going to sugarcoat what it is.
Right.
I would have gotten married to this individual, but I knew it wouldn't have lasted. If you doubted that it would last, why would you partake in it in the first place? If that is not as silly as Satan himself, what is wrong? But I doubt this thing, Mr. Bree. Y'all didn't catch that, huh? Y'all caught me when I said it? I doubt the individual that said that. That individual only said that to fit the time. Because there's no way you would have gotten married if you didn't want it to last. You didn't doubt it. You just saying that now. Huh? Oh, Lord.
That's right. That's right.
You just saying that now to cover up folly, to cover up your sin. You're saying that now to de-invest, to separate yourself from, your ways.
Right.
Master of illusion. Satan is the master of illusion because there's no way. In other words, all that person did was show their hand. They would have married, but it would have took the other individual to divorce them. They would have never divorced them.
All right. All right now.
Oh, boy. I'm telling myself what I do. For real.
Come on.
Deliver us from doubt, God. Because when you really trust God, you trust God at his word. Faith, hope, and love. In other words, it don't matter what people tell you. As a matter of fact, it don't matter how life reveals it to you. As a matter of fact, Job, it don't matter what you're going through and how you feel. When you trust God, you don't doubt God in spite of how you feel. Do you know your feelings would get you in trouble with love? Do you know your feelings would get you in trouble with hope? Do you know your feelings would get you in trouble, with faith?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Your feelings would cause you to doubt God. In other words, a form of doubt is questioning God. But this is the question to God. Because I want to make it clear, because somebody's about, that's why I don't listen to them people. They don't be knowing what they're talking about. Oh, no, it will cause you to question God. But remember I said there's two different types of questions. You know?
Right.
Mr. Bree, why you did that? That's not doubting you. I'm asking you facts of why you did that. Here's doubting you. Mr. Bree. You sure? They coming? See, boy, I'm about to show y'all something. Can I help everybody out this morning? Because this gets deep.
Please.
This gets deep. That's my confirmation. You don't need confirmation. You don't need confirmation on natural earth when God done told you already spiritually. When you need confirmation, that means he ain't believe the first one. Ooh, I'm going to go there. Oh, boy, look, they can get mad at me all you want to. Huh?
Come on.
256781555. One-on-one conversation, you want it? There it is. Huh? If you trust the first thing, why you need a confirmation from a second thing? If I trust God at his word, I'm not a child. Because I believe God at his word, so when you come along and trot along and say something, that don't give me confirmation because what you come along and say, there may be a variance from what God has already told me. Satan, I know you, Satan, and I know you clever, Satan. Satan, God told me to be as wise as you, but as humble like a dove. You're not humble, Satan, because you ride in pride. I don't need nothing you got to say, Satan, because I know my daddy's voice. I believe God in his first word. I don't need nothing to confirm nothing. So, Mr. Clark, you don't need people to tell you. No, I don't need people to tell me. Why would I have a relationship with God already? If you have a relationship with that man, why do you need your girlfriend to tell you something off next? That's crazy.
All right, now.
So you need to be in a relationship with the girl, not him then.
Come on.
Uh-oh, I'm talking that talk again, huh?
Come on.
If you believe the first, if you believe your paycheck, why did you got to write out another one?
Right.
Why? Huh? If you believe your vehicle and that you actually got to work, do you need to go get a Uber or a Lyft or a taxi to redo this thing again? You already at work, right?
Right.
You're already at the destination. That would be silly, right? So if you believe God and his word, why do you need confirmation? The confirmation is for the doubter. My God. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I know. And I bought Starfire. You can put Starfire. Because I know a lot of people say, that don't mean I doubt. Tell me what it means then. Tell me what it means. You don't have to confirm something that I already believe. Tell me what it means.
That's anybody? Cool.
Okay. So they won't. Star five and speak for somebody else. I want participation this morning. You don't have to say it, but just speak for somebody else. Play devil's advocate for me, somebody. Because I want to do real life stuff. Because people say, ain't nothing wrong with confirmation. Yeah. Peter needed to be confirmed that it was God because he was about to die.
Right.
And what happens when you don't get confirmation? I don't need confirmation when I already confirmed it that was God and I believe in God. Huh?
That's
because
right.
if somebody
That's
got
right.
to go behind you to get confirmation from somebody else, that means they ain't believe you. Anybody want to challenge that? And all it does is stagnation. If you got to wait on confirmation, that means you didn't move until you got it. Uh-oh. So while you still waiting, somebody else is moving because they believe God at his word.
Right.
Why ain't nobody with me? Nobody want to talk about this? You play devil's advocate, Mr. Free. Talk to me. What would people say?
People would say, why would you, you know, I'm in this relationship and you ask me why I stay with him and he's doing what he want to do. Are you sure you want to be with him? So how would I answer that?
I'm talking about confirmation, when they need confirmation.
Okay. When they need confirmation about, when you need confirmation about stuff, you don't have to, I just got this job. And somebody just spoke over my life. And then I just tell them, oh, that was confirmation. I know I applied for it. You just gave me confirmation on it. I hear that a lot.
Okay. So playing devil's advocate, as I just broke it down, let me play devil's advocate for myself. So, Mr. Carr, I don't believe that, you know, I hear what you're saying and stuff like that, but I don't think there's nothing wrong with getting confirmation from something else. You know, two is better than one. So just to hear it again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how you play devil's advocate.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with that. You tell me what's right with it. Because if you believed in God, well, Mr. Carr, God can use them too. Absolutely. Absolutely, that's plausible. Here's a problem with that. God will also allow Satan to come and confirm your doubt. I'm about to talk to somebody. That's how you play devil's advocate, ma'am. Agree with the devil, not with God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Y'all see it? So Satan can come and confirm doubt. What if God don't send nobody to confirm truth? Now you believe your doubt because two or more people done said it. Lord, have
right.
This is why you don't need confirmation. Because how many people told Jesus not to get on the cross? As a matter of fact, one of his own disciples said, they won't touch you, Peter said, because I'm about that action. What if God, Jesus, had said that confirmation that he chopped that man's head off? But God, Jesus, believed in God in heaven, and he put the man's ear back on and rebuked Peter.
Right. Lord.
The problem is we need confirmation when we're not sold out on number one in the first place. Well, Mr. Carr, what if you don't know if that's the voice of God? I'm glad. See, you have the responsibility. You have the onus. You own the responsibility to be accountable for life. In other words, the responsibility is that you be so close to God to where you only hear his voice and know his voice as the truth. Anything else outside of God, you know it's sin. The Bible says faith. Anything outside of faith is called S-I-N. In other words, if Jesus wouldn't do it, it's sin. So doubt can come in many forms. Doubt don't just come in a form where it's just erroneous and it's just egregious, you know. Oh, it's just so nasty. Doubt could come in the form of, it looked like love. It looked like, you know, I trust you, but I just wanted a little confirmation. See how they dumbed it down to say a little confirmation? Satan is cunning. See, doubt can be like, I don't trust nothing. I see it as believing. You crazy if you think, see, we think that's the only form of doubt. No, doubt said, baby, I love you, but can you just prove it to me? My God, why you got to prove anything to me? Listen, we'll prove it to each other. But see, this is why you can love something without seeing it. Because when you have hope for it, you don't doubt it. That means you can love your child and you know they're bad. Do you doubt them?
No.
See, love covers a multitude of sin. But sin covers a multitude of love. If Satan wrote a Bible, that's what he would write in it. Sin covers a multitude of love. You better be very careful because hope covers all doubt. But vicely, doubt covers all hope. In other words, somebody who's negative and who's outside of God would doubt everything. It's seeing as believing is their motto. So the Bible said what the Word of God couldn't do, he sent Jesus to do. In other words, God knows there's a lot of doubters here on earth. Very few that really believe.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. If there wasn't so many doubters, why would they talk about, you know, I trust God because of look at what he did for me. God don't have to do nothing for me to trust him. I trust him at his word. Why does God got to heal that person for you to believe him, for you to know that there's a God? Even if God don't heal him, that don't mean that God don't exist. See, that's you
right.
Doubt God. How you know you doubt God? Because if you didn't doubt God, why are we crying when they're gone? We should know that we should trust God that they with God. God is holding them, and if they live the life that God wants them to live, that they'll be with God forever. So what you
That's
saying?
Right.
So you saying, are we saying that we have a better place for them than God does?
That's right.
5 pointers, y'all. I'm going to go ahead and move on with this so we can go and get off this phone. 5 pointers about doubt. Write them down. 5 ways to overcome doubt. Write these 5 points down. This is very important. 5 ways to overcome doubt. Point number one, we must realize that doubt can weaken our trust in God. Number one, we must realize that doubt can weaken our trust in God. Number one, right in parentheses, trust equals relationship. Without trust, there's no relationship. And if your relationship, if your trust is weakened in the one you're trusting God, that means your relationship is weakened too. That means when you doubt God, you tend to not follow God. Job's wife.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you follow God, you do it with hesitation. You got 1 foot in and 1 foot out. In other words, you become lukewarm, which he still rejects. And if you don't fully trust this, that means you doubt it. In some ways, when you doubt something, you start to entertain something else. SMB.
Right. Right.
Huh? Oh, I wasn't talking about the ministry mission, bro. You start to entertain something else because that which you don't trust, you don't fully invest in.
That's true.
It makes room for other things to come in. People don't believe it because people have established their own form of righteousness. Number one, you have to realize that doubt can weaken our trust in God or your relationship in God. Write down Genesis 3 and 1. Genesis 3 and 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was the shrewdest of all creatures the Lord God had made. Really? He asked the woman. Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit of in the garden? Watch this. Look at Satan's word, y'all. How many people say that today? Really?
A lot.
Oh. In other words, really? You going to act like that? Really? kind of like their daddy, huh? And then they use another one. Wow. In other words, I don't believe that. See, you don't have to doubt nothing. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. Either you accept it or you reject it. You don't have to doubt it.
Right.
See, doubt is in between. Y'all see it?
All right. Yes,
sir. Doubt weakens our trust in God. And see, that scripture right there, y'all, Satan, he tempted Eve by getting her to doubt God. He tempted
right.
her. All he
right.
did was he implied that God was stingy, that God was strict, that God was selfish for wanting Eve to share his knowledge. Remember, he said, don't eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Huh? He tricked Eve by implying that God don't want to share what he knows.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Satan literally made Eve forget all that God had given her, and instead he made Eve focus on the one thing she couldn't have. Y'all hear me? You know how many of us fall into trouble, just like Eve, when we dwell on the few things we don't have rather than the countless things that God has given us? Huh?
That's so true.
We don't focus on the blessings. We focus on the things that God said no to. See, the next time you're kind of in that state, you're feeling sorry for yourself, and what you don't have, consider all that you do have and thank God for it. Huh?
Right.
And see, when you consider all that you do have, your doubts won't lead you into sin. When you think for the woman that you do have and everything she do, and as opposed to what she don't do, when you think for the man that you do have and, you know, and what he do and as opposed to what he don't do, this is when people start saying, well, you didn't do it. Huh? See, now you're about to lead yourself into sin through doubt. Lord, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I'm talking.
Right, right.
Y'all got number one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I'm about to get ready to get off the phone. Number two, doubts can remind us that we are relying on ourselves and not God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Numbers 11 and 21. Y'all write that down. Okay. Numbers 11 and 21. You will read that Moses said, there are 600,000 foot soldiers here with me, and yet you promised them meat for a whole month. Moses is the man who witnessed so much that God has done in a such a miraculous, spectacular, powerful way, yet at this moment, Moses really questions God's ability to feed all 600,000. He questioned God. See, look at how that question was a question of doubt. In other words, when you question something and you don't believe in it, how you know it's doubt? Because you're not fully invested. Because you don't question something. And see, if I'm questioning God, where I'm going next is the question. Not I doubt you. God, you sure we're going to do that? You know how you squint your face in your eyes? See, that's doubt,
right.
God. But we human, Mr. Carr. No, speak for yourself. I am a human, I'm a spirit having a human experience. Well, we men first, Mr. Carr. Ain't that right? For the brothers? No, my man. I am a spirit. I'm a child of God having a male experience. Huh? Yeah, that's what I said. See, if you okay with saying that I'm a woman first, or I'm a human first, or I'm a man first, well, you also okay with racism because Caucasian America should say, well, I'm white first, so you should understand my prejudice. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Now you want to go backwards and say, but we're all human. Uh-uh. Go backwards and say we're all Christian, too, or we all made of God. See?
Right.
Oh, boy. Huh? So racism should be okay. Mm-hmm. I know I can make y'all think on that. Hmm? Hello? Moses doubted God by questioning God in the derogatory sense. When God said yes, who are we to question about a no?
Right.
Doubt, people. Hello?
That's right.
Hmm? Ain't that something?
Yes, it is.
So when we start to rely on our own understanding, lean towards our own understanding, that means we no longer rely on God. We rely on ourselves. Hence, people start to say, well, I feel like. Here we go. The very thing that God said to not lean on, your own understanding. Lean on your own understanding will cause you to doubt everything that God has said before you.
Amen.
I feel like you don't like me. I feel like, based on what I see, I feel like it ain't going to work. Well, shoot, if that be the case, y'all need to hop on Peter's back and sink with Peter, because Peter felt like he was about to sink. Jesus didn't say, you don't have doubt. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Translated, your doubt is strong, my man. When your faith is small, your doubt is big. When your doubt is small, your faith is big. When you have no doubt, your faith is enormous.
All right.
Hello? Number three, deliver us from doubt. We must beware of the temptations that often come with doubt. Doubt don't come alone. Doubt comes with some temptations. Temptations, the Bible said, we are drawn away by our own lusts and desires. Temptations are the things that we like. They're trying to come up against the things that God said. Oh, my God.
All right.
You can't be tempted by something that you don't like. So temptations come by pride. Temptations come with your pride. I told you Satan was clever. Satan wants us to doubt through the things that we like. That's what a temptation is. That's why temptation seems so sweet, because it's you and Satan against God. My God. I'm going to say it again, folks. Temptation is you and Satan against God. Temptation is not just Satan. Temptation is you and Satan against God. Temptation wouldn't seem so sweet if temptation didn't have a riding partner called you. Oh, my God.
All right.
I'm going to tell you, Mr. Bree, deliver us from doubt. This is number three. There's not one temptation without you involved. That means Satan knows what you like. And he wants you, what you like, to go against what God called you to be.
Every temptation
you have, I promise you, it goes against God's calling. I promise you that.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, boy, we quiet on this morning. Because we didn't think that temptation had nothing to do with us. We thought that temptation had everything to do with Satan. Baby, you can't be tempted by something that you don't like. If you don't eat spinach, how can you be tempted by it? Satan needs a binding to his client.
Right.
Satan needs you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He know he can't make you do it, so he needs you to be a willing participant. And when he get before God, trust me, he will tell on you. Oh, he gonna snitch.
Right.
Number three, beware of temptations. In other words, beware of what you and Satan want, because they come with doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 4:3, y'all. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread. My God. Who y'all didn't catch that? Women, can I talk to you? Fellas, can I talk to you? Well, if you be a real man would do X, Y, and Z. A real man would take care of my past problems. And baby, you got the wrong one. For one, you can doubt that I'm a real man. I don't have nothing to prove to you.
Right.
Huh? A real man would do this. Ladies. A real woman, if she real, she'll cook for you and she'll clean for you. Ma'am, you don't have to prove that to him. See, he's
That's
trying
right.
to tempt you. Satan said to Jesus himself, he said, if you are the Son of God, see, when you don't know who you are, you'll fall for anything. I don't have to prove myself to you.
Right.
Because if I got to prove myself to you, that means you don't believe God nor me and my word. Mr. Carl, why should you believe people in their word? It's called hope. In other words, well, if that be the case, hey, let us go separate ways, because we're not equally yoked. So you saying that people don't have to prove? No, you should go knowing, because if you had discernment, that's what you pray for, and if you would be in God's hand, you would know what is and what isn't for you in the first place. It's funny. Watch this, Ms. Shabri. It's funny, ladies. It's funny, fellas. It's funny how you chase the one that God told you no. Uh-oh. I'm going to say it again. Somebody don't believe that, you know, fat meat greaser, huh? It's funny how you'll chase that which God told you no to, but because you don't know that individual, we'll go back to the familiar. You'll go back to
right.
the next, and you know God told you to leave it alone. But
all
you
right.
doubt that, though, huh? You trust them more than you trust your future in God. So you'll go backwards before you go forward. My God, people crazy.
Come on. Man. All right, now.
Crazy.
That's good.
And that's fictional character and crazy to Medea. Beware of temptations that often come with doubt. Satan told Jesus, if you're the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread. So everybody talk about, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I know. Because who's your daddy? Not God. Because
right.
not one time did God say, if you be my child, do this, that, and other. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. That wasn't doubt. He's telling you his criteria.
All right.
Satan
yeah.
don't have authority to have criteria. Huh? You don't have to prove to nobody because they'll start to say, if you love me, you'll have my back. That means you're locked for me. Well, baby, I guess I don't love you then. Lie for you for what? And you just did wrong.
Right.
Hmm? Hello? It comes
all right.
with temptation. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Satan does. Satan will tempt us to doubt God's true identity. You do know that Satan is conning in it. He knows that once we begin to question whether or not Jesus was God and God was Jesus, it's far easier to get us to do what he wants us to do when we question God in that sense.
Hmm.
Hello?
Ooh. Right.
I'm telling you, Peter, if you're dealing with doubt, you got to realize that you are especially vulnerable to temptation. If you're dealing with doubt, you got to realize that you are vulnerable to temptation. If you're dealing with doubt, you have to realize that you're vulnerable to temptation. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And temptation ain't nothing to play with because temptation looks like your friend. But temptation is a friend that is going to soon stab you in your back. That's all temptation is. It's a friend that's about to stab you in your back. You just don't know it yet.
Right.
Number four. Oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Deliver us from doubt. Admit our doubts to God. Admit our doubts to God. Oh, doubting tongues. When you admit your doubt to God, God can help you resolve your problem.
Right.
Hmm? Ain't that something?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Look at Luke. I wrote down Luke 7 and 20. The Bible says John's two disciples. Remember John the Baptist? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?
Right.
Admit your doubt to God. Hmm? As much as John loved Jesus, John was confused. He was confused because of the reports that he had received about Jesus. Huh? He didn't expect those reports. He didn't expect them, and they was also miserably incomplete. It wasn't to
mm-hmm.
his palate, to his liking. So John doubts were natural. Y'all know to say natural. Natural. Y'all know
natural.
What I'm saying? Natural. See, you can't live a natural life. You got to live a supernatural life. That means I live a peculiar life because I have flesh. I'm naturally human, but my super outweighs my natural, so I live a supernatural life. I know what my flesh want to do, but I tell my flesh what to do because my spirit is stronger than my flesh.
Right.
Didn't he say, greater is he that's in you that's in... Okay, then he that's in the world, okay.
Yes.
Ain't that something?
Oh, yes.
Your doubts to God. Okay? Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Notice that in that scripture, Jesus didn't rebuke those men. All Jesus did is he responded in a way that heaven would be satisfied with. And he explained in a way that John would be satisfied with, because John was confused, confusion, and saying this author, he was confused in a godly sense that he really wanted clarity in God. A lot of us be attacking God's word.
Yes.
In other words, John had his guns fully loaded. He said, do you be the Messiah? In other words, I'm fully loaded. I'm ready to go to war for you if you be the Messiah. We'll say, we don't have no weapons. We don't have no artillery. We ain't even come expecting to follow God. We just question people for the sake of questioning them to say, we come without slippers on. Well, he sent two men to say, are you really the Messiah? Because if you are, let's roll. That's what, boy, see, it was still doubt. Oh, no, it was still doubt. I told y'all this Satan clever. It was still doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus responded to him because it wasn't the doubt that says, I'm challenging your authority. It was the doubt that said, God, can you touch my hand? And when you touch it, I'm ready to go.
All right.
Even when God removed our doubt, why haven't you moved? You know why? Because you went to God with slippers on. You just wanted to know for the sake of knowing. You don't want to know for the sake of moving. Because if you wanted to move, why are you still connected to your past if he removed the doubt? You know what your past is. You went with slippers on. You know you weren't ready to move on. Mr. B, I'm talking now. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
John had his soldiers on. Soldier Reeboks on. Them soldieries. In other words, I'm ready to go. Just tell me you God. Let's go. It still was doubt, but look at this was a doubt that says, man, just tell me one thing and I'm gone. Tell me you God. I want you to be God.
All right.
Well, I know this gets too deep. I see an hour ain't even long enough. Y'all follow me? So when you
make
a doubt to God, God will help you resolve your doubt, but you got to come with your soldiers on. Meaning, it's not good to doubt God, but if you're going to doubt God, you better doubt, hold on, I hope this God, that's you? Oh, shoot, it's on. You ever know how people say, I doubt there's somebody outside, and they get up hearing noise in the middle of the night with nothing in their hand? No.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt there's something outside, but I got this weapon just in case.
Right.
One, if it is somebody outside, they're about to get knocked clean out. The other one
mm-hmm.
is on. You understand? Boy, all right. I'm going to move around on that one, Mr. Bree. The last one, number 5, deliver us from doubt. Doubts may remind us that our faith has to grow. Number 5, doubts may remind us that our faith has to grow. Matthew 17 and 20, the Bible says, you didn't have enough faith, Jesus said to them. I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Listen to what he said, because, y'all, we know the scripture, right? Doubts will remind us that our faith must grow. He said if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move, and a mountain has to move. Y'all don't hear me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In other words, and then he went on to say nothing would be impossible. In other words, when we say what we can't do, you know what you're telling
right.
God? My faith ain't even as small as a mustard seed. I don't have no faith. Yes, I do have faith. Well, even if you have small faith, according to God, nothing would be impossible to you.
Right.
So who are you to override God and say, I do have faith, but all you say in life is, I can't? Well, I don't say I can't, but you live, you can't. Because when you don't let it go that God told you to let go, that means I can't.
All right, now.
Well, I'm talking to somebody this morning. Because if you see it as impossible, that means your faith is not even small like a mustard seed. Mustard seed faith, the mustard seed is a small seed, but it grows to be the largest tree in the forest or in the land if it's in good soil and properly watered.
Come on.
The seed
gives right.
doubt, deliver us from doubt, God. Do y'all think that the seed is a problem? The seed is not the problem. It's the soil. I'm going to talk about that, too. Write it down for me, Mr. Bree. The seed versus
okay.
the soil. The word of God is not the problem. But you can't throw seeds on concrete and expect it to grow. When your heart is hard, that means you're rejecting God. When you reject God, that's only because you doubt God, because he created you.
Right.
Uh-huh. So the seed is not the problem.
People are not the problem. It's you. See, good right. soil rejects bad seed. But good soil receives good seed. The thing is, you doubt God, you start to reject God, and your tree don't grow when you don't believe in God.
Right.
Believing in God ain't just saying it. Remember, actions speak louder than words?
Oh, my.
Yes.
How can you believe in God and your actions suggest that you don't? Well, I mean, my actions don't suggest it, but I do believe in them. Well, stop telling everybody else, stop telling that man or telling that woman, you don't love me. Huh? Stop telling them, because if you really love your kids, you'll do for them. Stop being a hypocrite, because if you was really about that action with God, huh, you wouldn't doubt God, because if you really believed in God, you would show it, not tell it.
Right.
Okay. With that being said, we can go ahead and pray. Bow your head, close your eyes. Father God, we thank you for the message. We thank you for the five pointers this morning. We thank that every pointer, Father God, this morning may be sown into good soil and that it may grow, Father God, for the benefit of heaven. We ask that not only that this seed may grow, but that the branches may spread, Father God, and produce more fruit. Each and every soul that's on the phone this morning, Father God, I ask that you continue to cover them, Father God, even the ones who couldn't make it. I ask that you protect their families, protect their minds, Father God, protect their life, Father God, guide their feet, Father God, that they may be able to walk in peace and pursue you, Father God, the destiny that you have for them, your designed path for their life, Father God. They were specially woven, Father God, for the plans of heaven, for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Jesus, for coming and setting an example, Father God. But, Father God, we want to be the type of children who trust you at your word, doubting nothing that you say, and your word alone is good enough for us. We don't need confirmation from another source, Father God. You tell us one time and we move, Father God. We thank you for allowing us a second time to tell us, but Father God, we have matured, Father God. We're no longer teens in Christianity, Father God. We are full-fledged adults in Christianity. You tell us one time and we're moving at your one word. We thank you for revealing yourself through your word, Father God, not through your hands. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Y'all heard me? God reveals himself to the faithful who don't doubt through his word. To others, he reveals himself through the hands. This is why the Bible says those who diligently seek the face of God.
Right.
The face, he said, diligently seek his face. You know what he's saying? What's on the face? Your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
The head? And from the abundance mm-hmm. of the heart? You know the heart is on the face, right? Because people think it's the heart that pumps blood in the chest. No. When he say the heart, he's talking about your mind. Hide the word in your heart, meaning your mind. Okay, cool.
Right.
That's what it said. When you seek God's face, you're seeking God's mind. Stop seeking God's hand, because all you want God is to do. Start seeking his face so that you can hear from God. When I hear from God, I trust God at his word. I'm not a child. I don't need God to do for me. I need to do for him. Y'all have a great day. We're going to be back on at 8 p.m. tonight. Y'all have a great day.
Have a good morning.